Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Sinqia's earnings conference call referring to the fourth quarter of 2020. With us, we have Mr. Bernardo Gomes, CEO, Leo Monte, Marketing and Innovation Director, and Thiago Rocha, Financial and Investor Relations Officer. We inform that the participants will only be listening to the conference call during the presentation, and then we will start the question and answer session when further instructions will be provided. If any of you need assistance during the conference, please ask an operator for assistance by pressing star zero. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously over the internet via webcast, where the respective presentation can be found. The selection of slides will be controlled by you. Access can be made through the electronic address ri.sinqia.com.br, where you can also find and download the release and the presentation of the company. I'd like to now turn over to Mr. Bernardo Gomes, who will begin the presentation. Please, Mr. Gomes, you may proceed. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our earnings conference call. I'd like to start on slide number two, where we're going to highlight our excellent results for 2020. I start talking about financial performance, and we have certain indicators. First of all, the net revenue record of 210 million reais, 20% above 2019, with the observation that we still have very little in terms considering the recent acquisitions. We're going to explain this further on. If we take this annual revenue, we would have a pro forma revenue of 268 million reais. So excellent results in a year that has been so difficult for Brazil and the world, and we are able to deliver results that make us very happy. Record gross profit, 71.6 million, 24% above the rate in 2019. And as to G&A expenses, 4% below what we had in 2019. All of this led us to register an adjusted EBITDA, which was record, of a bit over 30 million reais, 43% above what we had in 2019. It's worth reminding, as the name says, all of these are results of important accomplishments and actions we had in 2020. And here we have a few that we highlight and we would like to talk about. The first is the acquisitions that we made in the second semester 2020, accounting for 35% of the follow-on proceeds that we had in the end of 2019. That shows that we are perfectly in line with the goal and the plan that we had at the time of the IPO. And we intend to continue at this very fast pace, making new acquisitions, bringing new customers, new products, new offers to our company. Second point I highlight here is the work that we've carried out throughout the year, in which we try to explain to investors increasingly more our company, our business model, and our future outlooks. And with this, we gradually increase the liquidity of our shares, and we actually managed to enter the small cap index portfolio. That was a great accomplishment for the company. Third item I highlight here was the acceleration we managed to get in the sales and implementation of our partners, and this made us increase 24% in the subscriptions revenues. This was an effort trying to speed up sales projects and the implementation of our software. The fourth item I try to highlight here is the way we quickly managed to adapt to the new scenario we're living at with the pandemic. All our customers are going through a time in which digital transformation is more than a need. It is almost a survival need, and we very quickly were able to meet those demands, and we realized that in our outsourcing efforts, we were able to grow 33%. These joint actions enabled Sinqia to have, in the third quarter of 2020, records of recurrence. We reached 90% recurrence, which is very important. That shows that our business model gives high predictability of what we are able to deliver, and that was a very important accomplishment. This is a margin. It was a record margin of 18%, showing that increasingly scale will bring better business profitability. This is something we have already observed early this year, and we will continue to observe in the future. And lastly, but not least, some quarters we have highlighted the importance of paying attention to innovation. Both the financial market and technology market, they're both going through a time of turmoil, in a sense. New businesses, new technologies, new players, new ways of doing business. And we've been trying to follow that and trying to lead this innovation process. And now our most recent initiative was the launch of Torc Ventures, our corporate venture capital, to be very close to this environment of innovation that is coming up in our market. Now I'm going to take the opportunity and hand over to Leo Monte, Marketing and Innovation Director, who's going to talk a bit more about these and other initiatives that we have trying to follow the innovation that we see in the financial market and technology market. Leo, up to you. Thank you, Bernardo. Good afternoon, everyone. Actually, this has been a very challenging year, but Sinqia was able to have great accomplishments and advances when we talk about innovation. It wasn't only the last quarter, but we had great advances and acceleration in our strategy, both in terms of product development and innovation. I'm going to go to slide 4, where we presented in the last quarter. We launched Torc Ventures, our CVC program, where we earmarked 50 million reais for these investments, our corporate venture capital and startups, and being very much focused on our goals, our growth goals of following acceleration, where I highlight here, we have these 6 icons. So we're talking about open finance. We're following a movement of the central bank, starting with open banking, and that should evolve to open finance. And we're not going to be out of that in any of our fronts. And then the other front is bank as a service. We understand there's great potential for us to deliver banking with services to some customers, distribute products of Sinqia, digital and technological items, iPaaS, which is integration platforms as a service. So here you're going to have an open world. The companies will need to have integration platforms, technology for the integrations, artificial intelligence, AI hubs of technology and connection distribution, and startups of risk and fraud. For this, we've managed to set up a dedicated focus team that is familiar with this movement and these initiatives of corporate venture capital to integrate with the startups and the systems and connecting to the funds. And to start, we started in 2021 the relationship relationship with Stella and Parallax Darwin. To the left, we had been making some investments through the acceleration process, and we started with Torque Ventures, our ability of sourcing and analyzing startups along with Stella and Parallax. Stella, one of the first venture capital funds in Brazil, great sourcing or origination, great businesses. And on the other hand, Parallax has great focus on Syndex with a very adherent portfolio with Synchia. In addition, we are encouraging partnerships of origination, as we have with Canary, Redpoint, and also Distrito, very qualified partners to make these investments, reminding you that investments are made between Series C and Series A. On slide 5, we've also had a significant moment, and we've been following this investment increase in innovation companies. We had, in 2019, 2020, we had over 20%, as you can see, in R&D and innovation investments, to be able to follow and update very frequently. We know that technology moves forward, there are lots of regulations, and emerging technologies are coming up increasingly. So we want to be a leader in our segment. We understand for that we have to make these investments, and that's what we're doing. Same thing, to convert certain software pieces that we have for cloud, SaaS. So we've been leading that for some years. We accelerated that a lot in 2020, and we intend to accelerate even further in 2021. This gives us great gains of KO, speed of implementation, and also faster revenue. And also preparation of migration tools. Those migration tools, to develop them, it makes us to have more facility to migrate our software pieces, and also we can bring clients from our competitors to our portfolio. So this gives us a gains of scale that is quite significant, in addition to construction of APIs focused on open banking and open finance. We've been preparing our software over the years, and we intensify that to meet the demands of the central bank, and also to keep our eyes towards the future, and also adopting new emerging technologies such as AI and blockchain. And for all of this, we had quite a significant increase in terms of investment in 2021. On one hand, we had an increase of 26%. We've more than doubled this increase, getting close to 120%, quite significant increase, and we're going to further accelerate everything that we've been doing, re-honoring the commitment we have with our investors, and also aligning ourselves to the market. Now I'm going to give the floor to Thiago Rocha, and he can tell you a bit about M&A in our last quarter. Thank you, Leo. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to start just briefly telling you that in the last earnings conference call, we had an acquisition announced in October. So in this quarter, we're going to highlight the acquisition of Fronti, funds. So on slide 7, we announced the acquisition of Frontis in 2020, very important for Synchia, combines a strategic and financial rationale that is quite strong, and I'd like to share this with you. First, thinking about strategy, we joined this FDIC in 2016 with the acquisition of T3S, and now we have reinforced our presence with the acquisition of Frontis. These were the two major providers of software for FIDCs, and now we lead the segment. The acquisition of Frontis had two goals. First of all, was to expand our product portfolio. We brought a more modern software, more standardized, and prepared for the SaaS model. What does it mean? That various clients can use the same system, which is very important for Sinqia, because this means scalability. And our second goal was to expand our customer portfolio. We have 33 administrators and managers, including various important names in the fund industry in Brazil. Let me give you some examples. The Bradesco, BR Latra, Santander, Socopa, amongst other names. In addition, this has been an acquisition that had a financial rationale quite strong. So they had a revenue of 9.3 million in 2020, a growth of 34%. They've been growing quite impressively for two reasons. First is the acquisition of new customers with the reduction of interest rates. There are several managers and administrators that are actually changing the FIDC products in Brazil. And the second is the ticket increase. Since they have everything priced according to the number of funds of FIDCs, every time a Frontis customer launches a new FIDC, the company grows a little bit. In addition, I'd like to highlight that their EBITDA margin was quite high in 2020, and the product is very modern, standardized. Frontis operates above the 20% margin, and we intend to increase this number further with this synergy, probably getting close to 25%. Moving on to slide 8, with the acquisition of Frontis, we closed 2020 with three very important acquisitions that represented a reinforcement that was very strategic in three of our fronts. Three, reinforce the bank, Frontis funds, and ISP, the pensions front. And all of them represented very important steps in our outlooks, bringing new products and new customers, which are the ingredients Sinqia needs for growth. So these three fronts and software. And looking at the chart on the right, I'd like to highlight that these acquisitions always account for great financial returns. So we're reporting 210 million reais of net revenue. This number is only 3 months of quarter, 1 month of Frontis, and no months of ISP. To give you an idea of the real size of our company in 2020, we need to add 9 months of TRI, 11 months of Frontis, 8.5 million, and 12 months of ISP, of 44.2 million. Therefore, considering these numbers pro forma, as Bernardo said, Sinqia ends 2020 with 268 million reais in terms of revenue, which is quite a significant number. 2020, not 2021, it does not yet contain the growth of Sinqia and these companies expected for the year that we're starting now. Moving on to slide 9, we move online with our M&A plan. In Q4, we had the year of our offer of shares of 2019, and our expectation at the offer time was to use 100% of the funds in 3 years. In these acquisitions made in late 2020, we've used 35.2% of these funds and a bit over a year. According to the plan, even suspending acquisitions in the first semester 2020 because of the pandemic. More important than that, our M&A scenario is quite heated. We have quantity and quality. On the chart to the right of all the numbers we have here, I'd like to highlight the last that we have 3 MOAs signed and several negotiations, very advanced, that in our vision should ensure our M&A strategy over 2021. Now I'm going to talk a bit about the financial results. Very good quarter, as Bernardo mentioned, full of records, Moving to slide 11, our portfolio had a growth that was very good, an acceleration in the growth in the end of the year. It continued growing compared to other quarters. So 28 comparison, 28 million improved to 18 million are inorganic. This, portfolio of Tree and Frontis and 4 million are organic. These 4.2 million that are organic account for an organic growth quarterly of 3.2%. In the fourth quarter, best growth we've had in the past four quarters, and we interpret this in a very positive way as a sign of acceleration at the end of 2020. And the portfolio is also growing in the yearly comparison, 27.9 million over Q4 2019, 18 organic and 18 inorganic and 9.9 organic. And we highlight that in 2020 we managed to exceed inflation. We met our sales demand. We had certain points that were above normal, but we believe will not be repeated, even knowing that those cases were outside our direct control, so that we can minimize this downturn with doing our work. We're monitoring everything, customer satisfaction, and promoting several improvements to our products. Moving to slide 12, we have had a new revenue record. Net revenue total was 59 million, growth of 23%. Software was 40.8 million, growth of 22%, and 14 organic. Possible growth, because in 2019 we had a commercial performance that was very sound. We built a very important backlog, and in 2020 we had an operational performance that was very consistent. We managed to convert this backlog into new revenues. Just to give you an idea, it's 114 projects implemented over 2020. And in addition, we had inorganic of 7% due to the acquisition of Tri and Frontis and December, respectively. In terms of service, we had net revenue of 18.2 million, growth of 26%, very much driven by the demand on digital transformation, especially in outsourcing. On this line, we see an addition of new customers, especially the expansion of average ticket. Our customers feel increasingly more comfortable to expand their outsourcing operations with Sinqia. Looking at the right, recurrent revenues was 53 million reais, growth of 34%. In the case of subscription, we had 35 million reais, a growth of 31%, and outsourcing 17.9%, growth of 41%. And this is very significant, relevant. Most premium lines of software businesses and services have presented a growth that was quite strong at the end of the year. Consequently, the percent of recurrent reached 90% of recurrent revenue. This is the highest percentage since our IPO in 2013, meaning that our company cannot not only grow, but grow with sustainability. Moving to slide 13. We've also had an expansion of our gross profit, total gross profit 21.6 million, growth of 23%, gross margin of 36.6%, increase of 1.1 percentage point, and we had expansion of gross profit in both business, software and services. Gross profit of software was 16.9 million, growth of 20%, gross margin 41.3%, slight reduction of 0.3 percent points. This reduction is explained by for two reasons. Implementation costs increase over the year. They were 10% of software net revenue for quarter 2019, moved from 14% to fourth quarter 2020, because we reinforced the team to convert the backlog into new revenues. That was a very important decision. That's what we made the growth of subscription revenue growth that we have in the fourth quarter. In addition to R&D and innovation increased to 4.7%, the revenue from 4% in 2020 from 3.5% to 4.7%, and because we are intensifying investment in various fronts. Leomont mentioned a while ago, I'd like to reinforce that we intend to intensify even further investment in R&D and I in 2021, because this is fundamental for the success of our company in the midterm. Service gross profit was 4.7%, growth of 35%, and gross margin was 25.9%, increase of 1.9 percent points. This is the best quarterly gross profit of services in the past 6 years. Excellent results, and the advance here is explained mainly due to the outsourcing business that has renewed offers and now is reaping the fruits of that. Now we have a firmer offer that adds more value to our customers. We offer not only outsourcing of the teams, but also the management of the teams, which leads to greater margins. Now moving to slide 14, we've also seen a relevant decrease in expenses. Total expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization, was 11% reduction, accounted for 18.6% net revenue, reduction of 7.1 percent points. More important than that is the change in the profile of expenses. We are gradually replacing general expenses for commercial expenses with marketing, because we understand the latter have a more direct relationship with the future growth of the company. In addition, these two lines, both general expenses and administrative, both commercial and marketing, they're being benefited by the resulting dilution of the last acquisitions. The commercial and marketing closed with 3.6 million, a reduction of 15%, accounting for 6% of net revenue, reduction of 2.7 percent points. Here we see two explanations. First, they've been reduced because in the fourth quarter of 2019, we paid some important layoffs and some specific one that totaled 1 million and were not repeated in the same magnitude in the fourth quarter 2020. Secondly, they were also reduced because of the suspension of important events in our industry. When the situation normalizes, we should resume those events and we should be present again. And regarding general and G&A expenses, they totaled 7.4 million in the quarter, reduction of 9%, representing 12.6% of revenues, reduction of 4.5 percent points. We have two explanations for this. Expenses with our office and traveling have been reduced because we are working remotely, reduction of 0.6 million. And in addition, we had a move of provisions in two lines. On one hand, we have greater bonuses in fourth quarter 2020. The company reached the minimum goal for EBITDA. On the other hand, we reverted provisions for legal demands with prognostics of loss that is more favorable to Sinqia. The net of those two lines is a reduction of expenses, 1.5 million reais. Moving to slide 15, as a consequence of these moves, we delivered a record EBITDA. Adjusted EBITDA was 10.6 million, growth of 66%, with a margin of 18%. This is the best quarterly margin recorded since our IPO in 2013. This is very important news. We went through some quarters of compressing the margin in 2020, 2021, because we had changed our commercial model and intensified investment. But this margin of the fourth quarter shows that a decision we made almost 2 years ago is paying off. We've reached a strike point or a balance point, and so we have our revenues that can pay off the implementation costs. Moving to slide 16, because of that, we had net income that was quite good, 3.1 million reais, a representing significant growth. And the main explanation for this growth is the operating result, EBITDA itself. On the other hand, the lines below EBITDA had some variations. Expenses with depreciation and amortization increasing 1.3 million. The financial revenue had a variation of 500,000, and income tax that was a credit became a debit with a variation of 2.1 million between these two periods. Adjusted cash earnings was 5.3 million, an increase 45.8%, whose explanation is also the operational results, higher EBITDA in the fourth quarter. Moving to slide 17, Sincare maintains a strong cash position in this quarter. Gross cash reduced to 339 million because of the payment of the cash installments of the Tri and Frontis acquisition, and now also amortization of previous acquisitions and installments of the debentures. Gross debt increased to 83.4 million because of the liabilities from investment acquisition of Tri and Frontis. As a consequence, gross cash reduced to 104.7 million because we had the closing of the acquisition of ISP that impacted these numbers. Payment of the ISP reduced gross cash in 33.2 million, and accounting of these installment payment increased the gross debt in 48.4 million. Our current net cash is closest to 35.7 million. I'd like to go back or hand back to Bernardo to make his final remarks. Bernardo.
Thank you, Thiago. Well, moving now to slide 18, everything that we've seen during this presentation up to now only proves and confirms that we have been following a successful trajectory. Everything we've been doing is very consistent and has been bringing the results we expected. From what we've seen, we have this outlook. We have new avenues opening up in terms of M&A, market consolidation, and innovation. These are our main fuel items to gain profitability and growth. We're very optimistic in terms of what we see ahead. Speaking about four points, in software, we'll keep on investing on our R&D so that we can increasingly meet more, better, and more broader way our market. We're going to invest a lot in providing more speed to the implementation so that we can quickly transform sales into revenue and recurrent revenue, bringing scale and profitability. In terms of services, we were able to quickly adapt to the market demands in this new scenario, and we're going to continue seizing the opportunities with greater value-added services to turn the digital transformation of our customers feasible. In terms of innovation, we've been following continuously, looking at new opportunities, new technologies. Now with the launch of Torque Ventures and the partners that we've chosen, I am sure that we're going to be the leaders in terms of innovation and take on the vanguard in terms of innovation in the financial market. Lastly, our M&A strategy, it's been intensified. We've managed to intensify the pace of what we had been doing the previous year, second semester. This was very clear. We're going to follow on in this space, and we're expanding our M&A activities at a time that we're opening up our pipeline, bringing startups and business opportunities of emerging businesses that can contribute to this strategy. The message we'd like to leave with you is consistent results with the trajectory you've been taking and the outlook that we consider quite good for the short-term and long-term future. This is it. Now we'll be available for Q&A session. Thank you. We're now going to start the Q&A session for investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1. If your question is answered, you can exit the queue by typing star 2. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. We kindly ask you to take the phone off the hook when asking your question. This way, great sound quality will be offered. Please wait while we collect the questions. The first question via webcast is from Mr. Hernando Cesar Shenji from Speedy. Hello, congratulations on your great results. I have two questions. First, can you give some granularity about these three MOUs signed? Should we have some advances in the second quarter of 2021? Second, even though small, can you say whether this contraction in gross margin in software should be observed in the next quarter since there has been intensification of investment in the number of employees? Thank you. Renato, thank you for taking part of our conference call and for your question. Starting with the MOUs, unfortunately, we cannot give you a very specific answer. It will be more general. We are going through a time of expansion, regulating our M&A strategy, in which we look at not only companies with vertical action that we should keep on acquiring, but companies with a more horizontal action, software more geared to front office that can be commercialized throughout our customer bases, banks, funds, pension funds, and consortium. In our view, this new wave of acquisitions should be of companies with these features that grow faster, that have a margin level that is much higher. That's why we consider their prospects, and we're very excited about that. It's very difficult for me to give you ideas of dates. What I may say is that at an advanced stage, we expect that an acquisition should not take so long to happen. Usually the cycle of a typical acquisition of Sinqia at the time we start the process, signing the initial agreement, they are about 6 months. In these cases, I'd say we are quite advanced stage. I would say that this should happen in a relatively brief way. And moving to your second question on gross margin, look, we had an expansion of investment in R&D and innovation. They reached 4% of the revenue in the fourth quarter. Leo mentioned, and I'd like to stress, our intention for 2021 is to more than double investment in R&D and I, so that we can distance ourselves from the competition. And if this will result in a reduction of gross margin, well, look, quite frankly, I don't think so, because there are other effects acting upon gross margin in addition to the increase in the investment in R&D that may cause a high-end gross margin. To give you an example, we are able to dilute expenses that we have with the sustainment of systems. We should not have relevant expense with systems implementation. The team is already set up. Recently, we've had acquisitions with high gross margins that have not yet been consolidated. So these are just a few examples that I could mention to you of factors that, despite an increase in the investment in R&D, we are able to drive new increase in gross margin over time. Once again, to ask our questions, please press star 1. Next question from webcast. How do you see the beginning of 2021? Thank you for the question. We're very excited with the beginning of 2021. Couldn't be different closing 2020 so well. We've been able to build a baseline that allows us to start 2021 quite well. When we look at the business organically, we see in software, a pipeline that is very robust of commercial opportunities. We see relevant developments and progress in the operations, as, for example, implementations and via R&D investments. And so we have very good outlook in terms of services. If you pay attention to the level of revenue of Q4 and only multiply by 4, you will realize that the growth of 2021 is quote-unquote assured and should be very good. From the organic standpoint, we have great optimism regarding the beginning of the year. Everything we've seen so far is quite positive. As from the inorganic standpoint, I'm also very excited. We have very rich pipeline. We have various companies as target of acquisition, very nice companies. We've been working in various cases for some time. We've been working for some time in some cases, and we'll be able to bring some more news and take Sinqia to another level. Our next question via webcast comes from Mr. Pedro Pimenta. What is the percent of R&D today? If you keep this level, can this undermine the competitiveness of the company? Another point, on the growth presented above the revenue, do you attribute this growth to the increase of demand in general or especially from the new acquisitions? Pedro, thank you for your question. The investment in R&D fourth quarter represented 4% of the net revenue in software. As we mentioned during the conference call, our intent is to double the investment in R&D and more than that for 2021. If this impacts competitiveness, I would say no. Let me tell you why. We believe that, on one hand, our R&D has a specific feature being geared to functional complementation, technological updating, building new modules of the product Sinqia already has. But our R&D is rarely geared to construction of new things from scratch, a totally new product. This is the check of M&A or the corporate venture capital. This is not R&D check. Since our investments in R&D is restricted within a scope of activities, our perception is that the levels of investment has been enough for this scope of activities. Having said that, once again, I reinstate, we are increasing. We've grown in 2020. We're going to grow in 2021. So we would see this moment of disruption in the financial market. We have an opportunity of being ahead. Our competitors does not have the same financial capability of Sinqia. Having cash and making investments in more intensely will create differentials that are going to be long-lasting and bring benefits to Sinqia along the next 10 years. And regarding your second question on the growth, we highlight actually on the cover page of our earnings results release, 10% of 20%, you see software had a growth of 22% in the fourth quarter, 14% is organic, 8% inorganic. So most of the growth in the fourth quarter came from greater demand and delivery that we were able to make. Small part came from M&A because actually the acquisition of Frontis was closed in December. The ISP is not even present because of that. Looking at Q4 2020, organic is more important than inorganic. Next question from webcast from Gabriela Chiarina from SSA Investments. Good afternoon. Congratulations on your results. Can you talk about the innovation projects as plugging? Hi, Gabriela. How are you? Thank you for your question. I'm going to hand over to the expert here, Leo. Can you talk a bit about how things are going in terms of plugging? Yes. Thank you, Rocha. We had major advances in Boogie as all innovation projects went through a moment of validation and adjustments. And now we had the goat market. We are shipping in our software pieces, and it will be native shipped for new customers, for those customers that want to use the software of secondary management, every marketplace and platform. We are seeking new large administrators so that the negotiations can happen within the platform. And now we're also moving towards the partnership with some funds, some managers, that so that we can have the negotiation within the platform. In other words, we are at a stage, we moved from validation, go to market, and now we are at a phase of operations. Next question via webcast comes from Mr. Rafael Ragazzi from Nord Research. What is the vision of Sinqia regarding on the basic test of a new foreign exchange law and how it's being actually dealt in the Congress? Can the foreign exchange market have the payment, the same effect of payments? What is the impact to Sinqia's business as a whole? Rafael, thank you for your question. One of the motivations for the acquisition of TRI is precisely this regulatory agenda of the central bank towards the foreign exchange market. I agree with you. The payments market went through a regulatory change that resulted into an opening of the market. If we go back 10 years in time, we'll remember that we had three acquirers in Brazil dominating practically 100% of transactions with cards. When we look at the reality in 2020, where we see 700 players in PIX. So this regulatory agenda has dropped some entry barriers, and consequently, we have various players operating the business, which is good for software providers. So our vision on this law is quite positive. The backdrop of this law is to facilitate foreign exchange operations, democratize foreign exchange operations to make them cheaper, and so we believe that its effect may be more and more banks, brokers, and fintechs interested in operating the foreign exchange product here in Brazil. So the impact of this to our business is something that should occur more in the midterm and certainly will result into various commercial opportunities coming up as a result of this market transformation. And just to complement, the foreign exchange business of TRI is moving on quite well in the fourth quarter. We had the closing of our first major sales cross-sell, which is really cool, with a customer from our portfolio that decided to replace the foreign exchange solution of the competitor now with TRI, or now Sinqia. But that confirms our strategy was correct. So the foreign exchange market before our acquisition was needy. Now we have this supplier, it's Sinqia. It has a good solution, and with this we expect to advance on new entrants and on the territories of the companies that are already established in this market. Now, next question comes from Mr. Luiz Azevedo from Banco Safra. Please, Mr. Luiz Azevedo, you may proceed. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I have actually two questions. First, regarding acquisitions, you've mentioned that now you're looking at a new wave of acquisitions, that company that perhaps have a higher growth rate. I'd like to know the expectations of multiple of these acquisitions, imagining that they are companies of higher growth and the multiple, I would assume, would be higher. And this week, we've seen a great acquisition of a technology company, and that was quite big. Can you give us an idea, references, if we can use this rationale that the next acquisitions will have multiples beyond the historic the company has been presented? This is the first question. Thank you. Luis, thank you for your participation in our call and for your question. Look, we believe that in our next wave of acquisitions, since we're talking about companies that grow faster and that have a higher EBITDA margin, we should expect that multiples of revenue should be higher. But we're not talking about such relevant difference. We're talking about multiple 3, 4, maximum 5 times, if it is the case. So the multiple of revenue, quite palatable. This is just a reference, but we generally think about in terms of EBITDA multiples that should not exceed 10, and especially a return rate. We make our decisions based on return rates. Even if we have an appreciation of the multiples of revenue for specific acquisitions, I'm not saying that we're going to run the multiples for acquisitions with a more mature profile. Even if there is a change in the revenue multiple, this does not mean an increase in EBITDA and return cash. And specifically regarding the fact of our paying too much for an acquisition, more than it is worth, this does not exist. If there is something Sinqia does and does quite well, is acquisition. We are very disciplined. In addition to being very disciplined and strict, we act in a market where we are only the only consolidator. This brings us some advantages. As for example, I do not need to face on my day-to-day other players fighting with me over an acquisition. So this is why it's so easy. So we're very confident that we're going to make good acquisitions, companies that grow a lot, that have good profitability, paying perhaps a bit more on revenue, but I'm sure that we're talking about palatable and disciplined things. Okay. Thank you. Very clear, your answer. And the other question regarding Torque Ventures, you have capital 50 million to make this seed money. What is more or less the horizon you expect to make these investments? Thank you. I'm going to hand over to Leo again. Leo, can you talk a bit about the investment horizon and Torque Venture? Sure. Thank you for your question. We have a window of up to 5 years to make these allocations or these investments. Of course, we have a very big surge in the market. We have good players, so it leads us to have a more accurate view. And just to reinforce, perhaps I haven't explained it there, we are within this universe of investments with these accelerators and CLA. SLA, we have checks of 2 to 6 million, seed 5 to 20 million, and CLA as 18 to 6 million. Out of that, we don't understand that we can capture so much synergy, reminding you that there are investments whose main goal is not financial. Of course, we're going to look at profitability, scale potential of the startup, but what we seek are accelerators, technologies that, along with our software and our products, we can deliver digitalization and modernization and value to our customers. And somehow, Sinqia will have profitability, accelerate its implementations, and be able to continue leading this industry. Perfect. Thank you very much. Our next question is via webcast from Mr. Lucas Ayali2L. Good afternoon. What about the future solutions via open banking? Do you think it will be a good path of growth for the company? If possible, could you talk a bit about share buyback? Lucas, thank you for your question. I'm going to start with the second, the share buyback, and then I'll hand over to Leo to talk about the open bank. Regarding the buyback, we actually had material fact last night talking about our sixth buyback program starting now that will last up to 12 months. And we have three goals that are main goals. on the program. The first of them is to benefit from a time that, in our perception, the Sinqia share price does not reflect what we've built in the past few months and what we're building now in 2021. We have this perception that the company moved ahead quite a lot. The share price did not, and consequently, it ended up being cheap. And that's why we're going to take this opportunity to allocate our cash. Second goal is to deliver shares to the beneficiaries of the compensation program participants. And third goal is to have shares in treasury to use in acquisitions that we pay part of the payment in shares. So these are the three goals. Well, we have announced the program. We announced the program last night, and let's wait and see how things develop and evolve to share more information with you. I'm going to hand over to Leo to talk about open banking. Thank you, Rocha. Thank you for your question. Open banking is a great landmark for the financial system. We see great efforts of the central bank to fulfill with the agenda and accomplish the standards within the rules that should bring significant changes to our industry. And Sinqia, by understanding all that, has been studying this over the years, understanding how it works abroad. And for that, we've developed a strategy that combines consulting with product plus innovation. And we had the go-to-market of this, and the adherence to these three pillars have with open banking / open finance. Starts with open banking here in Brazil, and then the agenda expands to other fronts in the financial services as insurance and other types of investments. So, in other words, we are ready for this. We understand that for the big ones, there is an opportunity for them to rethink some models. They're somehow protect themselves. So we come in with consulting, business consulting services, and with Torque. When we talk about products, we have all our software pieces already with APIs, integrations. When we talk about innovation, then it is an open avenue, long and large, that provides great opportunities and potentials for Sinqia with its technology to board on and to deliver that to all our customers. In other words, we can be sure that we will have a growing need of more technology, more digitization with all the process taking place when we talk about PIX, Open Bank. All of this will require more the need of software, good technology, the use and understanding related to data. And for all of this, we have this very special look on R&D and also with Talk Venture making all these investments for us. Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would like now to turn the call over to Mr. Bernardo Gomes for his final remarks. You may proceed. Thank you. Well, I'd like to thank you for everyone's participation in our earnings conference call for the questions. They were very enriching. And leave as a final message what I think is the main reason for us to be showing good results and a great outlook. It's our consistency. Consistency in terms of planning, strategy, and in the execution of the strategy. I believe this is a point that should be observed. And as I leave this as a final message to you. And we're available for any additional questions you may have through our IR department. Thank you very much. Thank you. Sinqia's fourth quarter 2020 earnings conference call is now closed. Please, you may disconnect. Thank you.